Cousin Tom, do a great job reading the gospel for us every Sunday. You took a lot of time and preparation for that. He reads it right from his heart. Appreciate your deacon so much. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've given us this wonderful ability to speak, to use language. Lord, we know there's power in the tongue, and we want our tongues to be used to the glory of God, to preach the message of Christ, to give testimony about who he is with our words and with our lives. Lord, use me in my weakness and open our hearts up to receive everything you have for us today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Did you ever have a moment where you thought this, me and my big mouth? Anybody? I certainly have. I think most of us, me and my big mouth. I appreciate what James teaches. He says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. If we did that, we'd probably never have to say me and my big mouth. I found this quote by Jimmy Durant, and I had to show it. Me and my big mouth, I get rid of it. It's only such a handy place to keep my teeth. But we can't get rid of our mouth. And the fact that we can speak and write and listen and communicate with people makes us different, makes us unique in creation. Something about this gift of language and communication is part of what makes us unique and made in the image of God. Noah Webster, connection with the dictionary, a man whose name is connected with the well-known dictionary, said, language as well as the faculty of speech was the immediate gift of God. Language as well as the faculty of speech was the immediate gift of God. The proverb says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Here God's given us this incredible gift of language, being able to speak and communicate, which is, it makes our life so much more relational and connected, but also this power of the tongue can be used and has been used to cause a great deal of harm and destruction. When I think about James, I think he had really three sources of inspiration for this chapter 3, talking about tongues. The first one is the book of Proverbs. We heard so many of those Proverbs, and you can just hear the echo of those Proverbs in chapter 3. The other source is what Tom read today, what Jesus said, what goes into a man's mouth is not what's bad, what's important. What makes a man unclean is what? What comes out of his mouth. A lot of warnings about our mouth and words. And I think the third source of his inspiration, obviously the Holy Spirit inspiring him for all these sources, but the third source is his experience as a leader. He was a leader, and so he had experience, and he saw the destructive power of the tongue and how it hurt the body of Christ. Now, as I was preparing the sermon, and I could just see that when James gets to chapter 3, there's like a notching up of passion. And I'm thinking, what's going on among this Jewish refugees that he has to speak with such power, with such a robust exhortation about the tongue? Look at these words. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Of course, he uses the bit in the horse's mouth, the rudder of a ship, something small that has a lot of power. But consider what a great force, when a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. I read that the biggest forest fire in California was started when somebody hit a hammer against a spike and the spark went and started this fire. So a small spark, something small, can do a lot of damage. Now, these are powerful words. Listen, the tongue is also a fire. a world of evil among the parts of the body. These are deep, intense words. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It can set your whole life in fire. It can destroy your whole life. For it is set on fire by what? By hell itself. Aren't those intense words? You see the passion in what he's saying? So what's going on among those people that he's so passionate about helping them not be use their tongue in such a destructive way? I don't have to go far to see examples of how the tongue can be used in a destructive way. We have some dear friends, some of you know them, the Daltons, a family that's adopted 9 special needs children. They recently had all their kids taken away from them by the court. My wonderful wife, went up to Winchester to the trial on their behalf. It looked like the judge had already made up his mind until the Daltons' attorney made her final argument, and it seemed like the judge was listening and got the message and said, I'm going to think about this. What you said has touched me. I'm going to think about this for 2 weeks, and I'll give you my decision. But you know how this whole tragedy started? And I think it's just a tragedy. Even their biological son was taken away from them. The whole tragedy started because one of their helpers, have you ever played that gossip game, you know, where you start with one thing and it goes down? Well, this was like the gossip game. One helper shared something with another helper. By the time it got to this helper, something was not true. The event was not true. And so that helper went to a social worker and reported what she had heard, which was a lie, and she recanted later for telling that lie, but it started this. You can see why Satan's called the father of lies. That lie kind of gave a foothold for the enemy to get in here and do a lot of destruction. Please pray that God would just vindicate them. They're just beautiful, wonderful Christian family. But you know, we don't have to go far to see the power of the tongue to do evil. Now, what was going on in these people's lives? Remember, they were Christian refugees. So they left everything. So they only could carry what they had on their backs, or they could transport. So you think they're going through a hard time? They had to leave family, friends. They were being persecuted. Have you ever gotten angry when someone's attacked you? That's kind of our natural thing. Somebody hits us, we want to hit them right back. We can see that obviously some people were getting angry because of what was going on in their lives. And we know trials and tribulations were going from chapter 1. But they were getting angry, so James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, like slow to become angry, because the anger of a human being doesn't bring about the righteousness of God. So obviously some people were losing their temper and hurting others. I'm going to share an example where that happened in my own life, where I lost my temper, and it did a lot of hurt and pain. And so here these people are going through a hard time. They're under stress. Have you ever gotten angry because you're under stress?
Yes.
Because you've been attacked? And you just think about how powerful how negative, how hurtful anger is. How many people have suffered because of an angry boss? How many women have suffered because of an angry husband? How many angry bullies in high school or junior high have attacked somebody in their school personally or on the internet, and it ended, that young person was so overwhelmed that they ended their own life? Anger destroys. It divides. There's a righteous anger, but we have to be very careful. The word, be quick to listen, slow to speak. So these people, they're worried. They're staying up late at night thinking about, how am I going to feed my kids? What's going on? How am I going to handle all the financial stresses I'm under? And then Pastor Niall talked about last Sunday, faith without works is dead. And that the kind of faith is not faith and works, it's faith that works. It's faith that proves, that reveals fruit in our lives, that makes a difference. But he talked about how some of the people, these poor people, went to their brothers and sisters in the church and said, hey, we don't have any clothes, we need some clothes, we need some food. And what did they get from people in the church?
Words.
Just words. God bless you, keep you warm. Empty words. How would that make you feel? You go to people, would you feel dishonored? Let's read this. But you have dishonored the poor man, and not the rich, the ones who oppress you, and the ones who drag you to court. Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? So to add injury to insult, some rich people were coming to the church. The rich people that were ripping them off or taking advantage of them, they were superficial Christians. And what was the church doing? They said, here, you can have the special seat. You poor people, they were treated less than humans. They were just said, you sit here or sit on the floor.
Amen.
How would that make you feel? So can you see why there was some division, some anger, some people saying things unkind to each other? Let me go back to this one. Let's read this together. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse man, for we have been made in God's likeness. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So it says that people were made in the image of God. They're made in the image of God, and how can we curse him? You see the passion again, restless evil, full of deadly poison? Something was going on with these Jewish believers that were being persecuted that was causing a lot of evil. A lot of people's lives are being destroyed because of the words that were being spoken. But this verse, it says, praise our Father, with it we curse men who have been what? Made in the likeness of God. Made in the image of God. Does the fact that we're made in the image of God cause us to respect all human life? All human life is to be respected. There's a story about a guy named Muridus. Lived in the 16th century. He was a scholar, but he didn't have much money. He got sick. They put him in a place for destitutes. And the doctors were talking in Latin, assuming he didn't understand Latin. They were saying, this guy is worthless. Why should we spend any energy? Why should we use any resources to help him get better? And he heard what they were saying, and he sat up in bed and in perfect Latin responded to them, call no man worthless that Christ has died for.
Amen.
Cause no man worthless that Christ has died
Amen.
For.
Amen.
And so we have to be careful with our words. You know, I'm convicted. I'm thinking, it must have been a blind spot for these people that James is writing to. Is it a blind spot for us too? Are some of us going to go out in the narthex and use our tongues to gossip? Is it a blind spot? I'm asking myself, I want to be careful about how I use words. And I think that's something God is calling us to, obviously, from the Word of God. Every time that's underlined, that's the same Greek word. Let's read this together. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Notice this is from chapter 4. You can go to every chapter in the book of James, and he's talking about how words or the tongue can hurt people. And so this is in chapter 4. Do not speak evil against one another. Do not speak against a brother who judges his brother. Speaks evil against the law. What law do you think he's talking about? the law of love. It's called the royal law. He refers to that in another place in the book of James, to love your neighbor as yourself. So when you speak against, when you speak evil, you're speaking against that law of loving one another. And if you judge the law, you are not what, a doer of the law, but a judge. A judge. Let's read this together. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So what was happening? People were praising the Lord on a Sunday and then maybe going home or going to work. And what were they doing? They were cursing people. They were treating people in an unkind way, treating them in a subhuman way. Of course, the tragic example of this is in our own country when slave owners were going to church, worshiping God, coming back and treating their slaves like animals. God hates that. It breaks his heart. Jesus got the most angry at hypocrisy. Let me tell you a time when I was a salt water pretending to be fresh water. I won't go into all the details, but I had this young lady named Marianne who was working for me. This is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And she set me up and made some poor decisions and endangered my life and the lives of some others. And it was a bonfire after a hayride. When I got to this bonfire and Marianne came bouncing up to me, I blew up. I started yelling at her. But I did it in front of the young people. In front of the young people. And then turned around at the campfire talk. What do you think I talked about that night? Love. I was salt water pretending to be fresh water. What do you think that did to the cause of Christ? What do you think that did to my credibility? It was a hard lesson, and I hope I've learned it. Now, what if I would have gotten up and said, I was going to talk about love tonight, but let me tell you, what you just saw me do was not love. Please forgive me, Marianne. Forgive me, young people, for what I did. And then talk about the importance of forgiving and being forgiving and asking for forgiveness. You think they might have remembered that? Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I've learned from that hard lesson. But I sure wish I would have taken some time to think before I said anything that night. To be quick to speak. I'm quick to listen and slow to speak. I came across this acrostic that I like. I hope it's helpful to us. Before you speak, think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Is it true? He whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, he who speaks the truth from his heart. So it's not only speaking the truth, it's speaking the truth in love, in the positive attitude. You could be speaking the truth and be gossiping. And so, next one, is it helpful? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So our tongue can be used in a very powerful way to build others up according to their needs. Excuse me. We can build one another up with our word. Sharing about Jesus with our mouth can change somebody's destiny forever. Is that right? Sharing the gospel, somebody can change somebody's destiny forever. Next one. Is it inspiring? Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Anybody ever need any encouragement?
Yes, sir.
Is that part of our job as the body, as family, to encourage each other, to build each other up, to encourage one another? And I thank the Lord. I sense a lot of that in this church. It's wonderful. Okay, next one. And is it necessary? My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. I hope I try to do this, but if somebody comes to me and says is complaining about somebody else, I say, well, have you gone and talked to them? Isn't that what Jesus told us to do? There's a problem you have with somebody, what? To go and talk to them about it. But sometimes we talk to everybody else about it. We gossip about it. One guideline that I use is, would I be saying what I'm saying if that person was in the room? Would I be saying what I'm saying if that person was in the room? Is it necessary? Churches have split because of gossip, because people have said things and hurtful things to one another. The enemy loves it. He loves deception. He loves lies. He loves when the body of Christ is divided. And then, is it kind? Let's read this passage together. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Kind words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. I read about these two boys on a playground. They were discussing the classmate. One of them said, he's no good at sports. The other boy said, yeah, but he always plays fair. The critical one says, he isn't very smart in school either. His friend answered, that may be true, but he studies hard. The boy with the mean tongue was becoming exasperated with the attitude of the other. Well, he sneered. Did you ever notice how ragged his clothes are? The other boy kindly replied, yes, but did you ever notice they're always clean? Which one of these boys would you want to be your friend? Which one would you want to be your friend? Let us think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Amen?
Amen.
Father, I just ask that we not be people that look in the mirror and walk away and not look at ourselves and see if there's anything in our life that needs to change, especially with the use of our mouth. Thank you for this wonderful ability you've given us to communicate with language. But may we use our mouth, Lord, to bring life and encouragement, to inspire and to help and to build. Thank you for the power that you've given us, creating us in this special gift of being able to communicate in these ways. May we use this gift to the honor of Jesus and to his Lord. We pray this in the name of the Word of God, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.